It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pull List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. Simon, what's up, man?
Hello. How's it going?
It's good, man. How you been?
This week's been weird. My wife's been out of town, so... We were talking about beforehand, I've been like risky business sliding around the house.
Yeah, you're like Macaulay Culkin, man.
Yeah.
You got to figure out how to get groceries and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, just mac and cheese. What's he say? Oh, fuck, I can't remember when he has the mac and cheese. Have you tried this?
I've heard it's good. I haven't seen that movie in probably 15 years, man.
I watched it not too long ago. Do you know if that mac and cheese is good?
I would imagine it still holds up. Let's talk about some trending topics, man.
All right. Sure.
There's a rumor going around that actor Demetrius Gross, he was from Fear the Walking Dead. I never watched that one. I did watch the main Walking Dead, so I'm not familiar with this actor's work. He is reportedly in talks to play Grim Reaper in Disney Plus's Wonder Man, who is Wonder Man's brother.
Oh, yeah.
Could be cool.
Right, because, and then Vision is...
Yeah, because Yaya's playing Wonder Man. Could be cool. I don't know. I haven't seen his action chops. I'm sure he's fine. But, you know, if you're an actor, I'm sure you're decent. It's not like they're getting that guy from what's that guy's name?
Huh?
That show called... there was that movie that James Franco did a recreation of it.
The Room?
Yeah.
Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah. It's not like they're getting that guy to play in the MCU.
Yeah. No. Did you ever see his audition for the Joker? It's bad. You would expect.
I'll have to watch that. Yes, it's a rumor. I don't know. I'm excited about it. I'm sure this is going to be fine. That's going to be like my ongoing review for any MCU stuff. It's like, it's fine.
I'm sure it'll be fine. Yeah, I mean, really, that's what it's like now. Not to get back into that, but, you know.
And not even like, not even a negative connotation. It's just like, it is fine. And it's not, you know, Citizen Kane.
Right. Yeah. We're here for explosions.
Next thing, I didn't even know this movie was coming out. Well, I guess it was safe to assume after No Way Home, but Tom Hardy has announced that Venom 3 is now in pre-production. What do you think about that, man?
I wonder what it's going to be about.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's weird because he was in the Marvel or the MCU solely, I guess, to leave a drop of Venom in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And then he just went back to his. No interaction with any characters in that universe.
Honestly, that's my favorite part. Like, I would have loved to have seen him, but that was my favorite part, is that he was just in there for that fucking joke.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And then he goes back to his universe. I don't know what this one's gonna be about. Well, hopefully Andrew Garfield shows up.
You think?
And it's Spider-Man 3.
It'd be cool if it was just a variant. I have a feeling that it's gonna be kind of, since we've had Carnage already, I don't know why they killed him off. I guess he doesn't have to technically be dead. But anyway, I imagine this one's going to be more symbiote shit, more symbiotes. Of those really dumb arch nemeses that he had in the comics.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, it's like this is the trilogy and they don't have a single Spider-Man in it, which I hope they don't put it in. I don't know. I really don't care. Those movies were whatever.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it.
Those movies were whatever.
I kind of forgot they existed. The other day, it's like I remember pieces and parts of like special effects, but I don't really remember any plot details. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, fuck, man, there's been two of those already.
Yeah, like, I don't really remember the first one. The second one was weird. Those movies are just weird to me.
I think that the first one way outshined the second one as far as like.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, they're super random, super weird. I'm excited to see
the third naked.
One. I'm excited to see the third one. Speaking of something I'm excited about, X-Men 97 head writer Bo DeMeo has seemingly indicated that the Disney Plus series is still set to release this year, despite other Marvel Studios delays.
I'm a bigger fan of Bo DeMiracle Whip.
Sorry. We don't do that in this house. It's all about Dukes. Bo de Dukes. What do you think about this? Are you excited about X-Men 97?
Man, in spirit, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
But, you know, I don't know. I haven't watched that one in a while. I watched, like, some of those shows from back in the day. You know, you watch, like, Extreme Ghostbusters. Not Extreme. That one, I think, holds up. But the real Ghostbusters? I feel like if you look at it from the lens of age, I think all the animation really holds up because it was done by, like, Toei or something. Yeah. So that animation is really good. And you look at some of those shows, like BTAS, really good. Spider-Man, all right. But like the old X-Men, I don't know, man. I tried to watch it recently and it was, I couldn't do it.
I've been saying that. A lot of people love it. And I don't know if they've watched it. And I know they have the, you know, like you said, they're watching it through a certain lens. But I can't watch it, man. It's like, okay, there's a few episodes that I remember that I'll go back and watch, but even then, it's like, this is pretty good.
No, I don't, I never thought it was that great.
Great intro music.
Yeah, man. Really good.
Can't beat that. I was more of an X-Men Evolution guy, and that wasn't even like, it's not what I grew up with. I grew up with the 90s X-Men, but I just thought X-Men Evolution was more entertaining.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Plus, they had Spike.
Yeah.
The coolest X-Men. He doesn't exist in
the comic books. Yeah, it's like Marrow, right?
Yeah. Speaking of Marrow, this was cool news. Steven Yeun has joined the cast of Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts. You might know him as Glenn from The Walking Dead or Mark Grayson from Invincible.
Or that dude from Nope.
It's suggested. Or the cowboy hat guy from No. Oh, yeah. He was a child actor in that. I love that guy. What do you think about this, man?
Thunderbolts. Yeah, I like him. I mean, what could he possibly be?
Just a lot of people are saying, that's what I'm thinking. It's going to be like the dude from The Good Place that they cast in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
Yeah.
Where good actor.
Like, oh, what if it's Reed Richards?
No, yeah, could have been. Guy. Could have been anything, but nah, it's actually a nobody.
I think they do. I mean, I'm pretty sure beyond like what they do with trailers and stuff, I think they do that on purpose so people will speculate and drum up all this shit and then watch the movie and be like, why was Bill Murray in this?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's part of it. They have probably someone on their staff that scours the internet looking at these stupid ass speculations. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll just hire this guy. They think he's going to be Mr. Fantastic. We'll put him in there. We won't say what he is. And we'll go crazy for it. Who gives a shit if they're disappointed? They're going to keep coming back.
Yeah, they're going to come back and complain about it the whole time.
Yeah. Who gives a shit what they think about these movies? They're going to watch them all.
That's a good point. I hate that. But yeah, it's totally. It's like every time I go in, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. A lot of people are saying that he's going to be Sentry in Thunderbolts, which would be interesting. I don't know how they spin it, but it would be. Yeah, why not? It would be interesting.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny because I saw this. What is it? That Awkwafina show, Nora from Queens. And there's an episode where she's going to get her hair done. And this lady in the lobby's like trying to coach her through this midlife crisis thing, not midlife, but she's not sure what she wants to do. And she's like, I feel like I'm not taking risks. And she's like, dude, bleach your hair. And so when she goes in there, she's like, I want to bleach my hair. I'm going to do it. She's like, I don't know, like virgin Asian hair. Your hair is like the color of space. And if we try to bleach anyway, I bring that up because Century is blonde. So
yeah, I don't know how they would do it.
Be like, Goku, man.
It would piss off all you know, the white guys, one last hope. That was our, you're chasing our hero.
All the white guys that know exactly who Sentry is. And
even if they don't know it, they're going to be like, he was blonde hair, blue eyed. How dare you?
How dare you? Yeah. How dare you make this representation of an addict that has all these problems? How dare you make him a different race?
Some people are saying Amadeus Cho, who turns into a Hulk in his own right. He's the totally awesome Hulk. Even though he's like 16, or I think he's like 18 when he returns into the Hulk. You know, Steven went like 40 years old, so maybe not that guy. But they could do it.
Nah, I mean, maybe, but I don't see why.
Yeah, Amadeus Cho's, his whole thing is that he's a young genius. So maybe I'm going to go on a limb and say, because we just brought it up, Steven Yuen is going to be in the Thunderbolts as Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, man. Why not? Why not?
Why not? I think it'd be cool. He's in there as Mr. Fantastic just for the soundbite, just so if it happens randomly,
they should have just started doing that, making all these variants like they did it with John Krasinski. They should have done it with the guy that was in Ant-Man. They should do it with him. Yeah. Like, because you what was the bad version's name that was in Ultimates?
The Maker.
So, but he was kind of like, didn't they have all these different variants in the comics? So that'd be kind of cool. I don't know.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Iris, man, we're available.
If you're gonna have like all these, I mean, he's supposed to be a genius, so why couldn't he unlock?
Yeah, there is a council of Reeds. There's all the Reed Richards from all the universes get together.
It's really grassy.
And get together and discuss multiversal stuff as Reed Richards would. Mm-hmm. So it'd be cool to introduce something like that. I mean, we had the Council of Kangs. They just have one movie with a bunch of Reed Richards versus a bunch of Kang. I'd watch that. But as I mentioned, I'm going to watch it all. Speaking of something that I'm going to watch, Avengers, the fifth Avengers movie is coming out at some point. Jeff Loveness is writing it. He also just wrote Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. So if you didn't like that, maybe skip this one. He indicated that Namor will appear in Avengers Kang Dynasty. He said he's excited to write Namor. So that's cool. I've been wondering when he was going to pop back up.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's going to just start. Maybe he dies at the beginning. How bad would that suck? He's fighting Kang and he just gets his head chopped off in the opening scene. People would be pissed.
Well, sorry.
But what are they going to do? They're going to watch the next one. Who cares?
Yeah, fucking kill them.
I'm excited. You know, we've talked about it in numerous episodes of the show. It's so hard to get excited about like movies like this. Avengers Kang Dynasty, that comes out, what, 4 years from now? I don't even know if I'm going to be alive then. It's really hard for me to be like, man, I'm so excited about Namor in this movie that I could potentially never see.
That's really sad.
I told you, man. Existential dread.
You're doing all these freaking things to help yourself. You think you'd look on the brighter side.
Day four, man. I'm still working on it.
Slip some meds in that fucking can of water.
speaking of existential dread, we're talking about some DC news. Not a lot going on over at DC. They're still working it out. They're still working the kinks out of this first chapter of the new DCU. But we did get some Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League information. I think we got gameplay. It was all part of the PlayStation State of Play, which those are so boring now.
Yeah.
Just waiting for Spider-Man, dude.
They really lose out to like Nintendo on that. Hell, Xbox didn't even have anything. So
they're just like, hey, just go to our
website. Buy our shit. Xbox is like, I cannot. What's crazy is like, I like Xbox, so I still pay attention and people can correct me. But I'm like, when was the last time an Xbox exclusive came out? It's been like 2 years. I think that was the last one. Yeah. It's the only game that they made for their new system. Everybody else uses it for backwards compatibility.
Yeah. Yeah, the state of the play was weird. They had this like slice of life game that they really, I mean, it seemed like the state of play was about that slice of life game, and then Suicide Squad killed the Justice League.
Which one was the slice of life? Was that the weird like dragon, like the reptile? No, that was the volcano something.
That is what I'm talking about. It's like Volcano High School or
something. Oh yeah, okay. I thought you meant the title was Slice of Life. You know, it's like I was intrigued because I was like, oh, I like the animation, it's cool, but I'm like, I can't do furry dragons. I can't. Yeah, it's not so gonna. Weird.
And then they had Baldur 3, which I have no idea. I vaguely remember a Baldur game from like 20 years ago.
Baldur, I barely know her.
Okay. But all that to say, Suicide Squad killed the Justice League. There were some leaks and rumors a few months ago. I think we talked about people were worried about a battle pass. They were worried about it being just like the Avengers game. What do you think after watching the gameplay?
Well, I appreciate that they like talked about that or basically countered all that misinformation, because I was a little worried about it. I think the problem with Avengers game is that everything was like level wise was tied to armor, kind of like Destiny, you know, but that's not really, you don't want a game like that to be grindy because
yeah,
you're playing like superheroes. Who wants to be Iron Man going in and killing all these bullet sponge things?
And where Destiny, in my opinion, wins that, you know, back and forth, is that when you got armor and materials, it actually changed on the character. So right. You're like getting armor, you're getting all these things that it's just for points.
Right.
You're not even getting like the cosmetic appeal for it. I feel like that would have been a totally different game if they would have just did that.
Yeah, but they were like, no, you can't do that because then it'll be a set, you know.
Yeah.
But it would have been cooler. It would have been, this is a side note, but it would have been cool. Say you were like Iron Man, and it would have been neat if they were just upgrades. Not, it could have been just the movement tree, like just the combat tree that you do.
Yeah.
That would have been fine. Or something where like your armor develops over time. So you have like the Mark One at the beginning and then you go up. I don't know how you do that with the other ones, but
they have a game, a mobile game called Marvel Future Revolution. And the way that the gear works in that is that it legitimately changes. So you can have like and it's like throughout the multiverse. So you have like Hydra, Spider-Man gloves, Spider-Man Noir mask. It looks stupid, but like it's your character. If you want to look stupid, you can do that. Or you can put it together as a set and get a bonus for having a set.
Looking like Combo Man.
Yeah. But that, I mean, that they could have did something like that and that would have changed it completely, I feel like.
Yeah, it would have been interesting at least. But anyway, this one, I was glad that they addressed that with like, hey, skins are just skins. It's nothing to do with armor upgrades or anything. What you upgrade is your weapon.
Yeah.
So everybody has a weapon.
Everybody has a gun, which is weird.
Even King Shark, yeah.
Yeah.
But which is fine. I mean, hell, whatever. Makes sense.
I saw a funny post that someone was like, oh yeah, look at Boomerang with his signature weapon, a gun.
Yeah.
Oh god.
I mean, I think scenario wise it is funny, but I think scenario wise it makes sense. It's like you're sending these regular ass people in, sure, give them guns.
Yeah. The apocalypse, essentially.
But I do like that it's more tied to weapons rather than armor sets. I still don't like that. Like, I don't like games like that. I like to just go in and play. So,
yeah, not everything needs that RPG element, man.
I'm going to turn on, like, put in the strongest and then just go from there.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I was really intrigued. I think it looks pretty cool. And I do like that it's 4-player, but you can play with like CPU.
Yeah,
because I don't think Arkham Knight's like that. I think Arkham Knight's like you're just your person unless your friend is with you.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. A lot of people are still, you know, pretty upset about the battle pass. I think it's just the phrasing. I think they just they need to get away from the buzzword of battle pass and call it something else.
Well, and it's just skins, right?
Yeah, I believe
that's
so.
It. Like, it's nothing that gives you a leg up on the game.
Yeah,
because it's not people PvP.
That's just the buzzword of battle pass. People think, oh man, it's like Fortnite because they coined that term. They mm-hmm. just need to come up with a different name for it. I did one thing that was like, that's kind of lame, is that you have to be online to play, which it doesn't matter. I'm always online, but you have to be online to play even solo.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Which, again, my thing's always connected to the internet, but on the off chance that it's not, that kind of sucks.
The only thing I don't like about it, like I'm going to probably get it mainly because it's part of the Arkhamverse. I'm interested in that. And it looks pretty cool. Even though it's just a shooter game, you know, it's a third person shooter. That's one thing that kind of counts against it in my mind. And also, like you said, these like online elements, man, I just like to play single player games. I used to love online when we were all like not married or if we were married, we didn't have kids, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, where we could all get online and just fuck around for hours. Now, not a single person I know can do that. And so it makes it difficult to, and the only friends that I have online are like the people I talk to on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So
some people say it reminds them of Sunset Overdrive. I never played that game. I don't know if that means anything to you.
It's good. That's a really good game.
I've heard a lot of people saying that that's what it reminds them of. So yeah. If that's good, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a really movement. Like that game, Sunset Overdrive, it's an Insomniac game. So you'd probably like it because it's kind of like it's literally a mix between Spider-Man and Ratchet and Clank, except you're like a regular person. But it's like all about
those games.
It's all about like movement. So if you walk in that game, you're just walking down the road, like you're going to get killed.
That might be frustrating.
Yeah, but you're supposed to like grind on rails and like move around and like do all this movement. It's all about grinding on rails. So it's a lot of fun.
I'll probably get this, man. It looks fun. And even today we were talking about jumping back on Destiny because we used to just have fun sticking around on there. And hopefully this is something like that. But you can just hop on, have some fun with. They said they're going to put new playable characters eventually.
That's cool.
That's cool, but like, I hope that they saw everything that Avengers did wrong and were like, we can't do that. Like, I hope it's just not reskin characters because all the characters that they added in Avengers were just a reskin of a character that was already in the game.
Well, I think that's the unique thing about like everybody has a gun, so you don't have just a brute, you don't have somebody like the Hulk.
Yeah, you do,
but he has a gun, so he doesn't have the weakness of not being able to get in close or whatever. Every play style seems fairly similar, if that makes
I'll probably
any
play
sense.
With King Shark though, he looks freaking great.
Yeah, I like Deadshot, he looked pretty cool. Boomerang looked cool, I guess. But I think that makes it easier to balance a new character. So if you bring in a new character, you give them a couple of special moves that aren't related to whatever, and then you just like, here's a gun.
Yeah.
You know,
I bet it'll be Peacemaker. I bet that'll be the first character they add because why not?
People
love them. That's all we got for trending topics, guys. Sorry we're on a few tangents, but if you're at episode 180, you already know what it is. So we're gonna take a second and then we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, it's Michael E. Cullen II.
And I'm Sesame Incarta from the All Too Real 2 podcast. We're passionate about movies, TV, and pretty much all things pop culture.
Dive into the chaos of failed sitcoms, direct-to-video sequels, and the quirky realms of cinema and TV.
Join us every Thursday for your dose of All Too Real 2 entertainment.
We'll guide you through debates like whether Howard the Duck qualifies as a superhero.
Ponder if Larry the Cable Guy could be the new Rock or Schwarzenegger.
Discover if some shows and movies should have stayed in the cutting room.
Ever heard of a sitcom featuring that dictator with the funny mustache? Well, we watched it.
We're dedicated to unraveling the peculiarities of pop culture, sometimes with awesome guests.
So, if you're into the eccentric world of pop culture,
listen and subscribe to All Too Real 2.
Available wherever you find podcasts
and on Age of Radio.
Welcome back, guys, and thanks for giving us a second to catch our breath. This is a section of the podcast where we review a trade, also known as a trade review. That's it.
I was waiting.
I'm going to just ad-lib, I'm going to put in some, like, elevator music in that short pause. This week, we are back on schedule. We had a weird 2 weeks where we were like hodgepodging together episodes to try to ride some of that Ant-Man fanfare and hype from the movie, which actually backfired on us because a lot of people hated the movie. So, yeah, we're back. Back to your regularly scheduled episodes. This one's interesting. You're like, Simon's, so what you don't know is Simon's doing something in the background right now. I can always tell. This week's a good week because it's a Daniel Warren Johnson review.
DWGJ.
If you've listened to our previous episodes, you know that we're huge fans of his work, and do a power bomb. Is finally coming out to trade this week at the time of you listening to this. So we wanted to review it. It's interesting because it's 7 issues. It's like a weird number.
Mm-hmm.
Usually review books that are 5 to 6 issues. That's typically what a volume is. But this
did
one
it
had
come
that
out? Did extra... this come out as individual issues?
Yeah.
It did. Okay.
Yeah, it did. And I don't know. I don't know if it was supposed to be longer than that, but it ended up cutting short. It seemed fine. It didn't seem out of order or anything extra. So, whatever. Daniel Warren Johnson's just shaking it up, I guess.
Shake it.
Yeah. So 7 issues, which is kind of, it's like, I even hit something up. Like, I don't know if you want to, you know, it's a little bit longer than usual. We've read longer books.
How much you want to read?
Yeah. If you don't want to read, it's fine. But I was really excited about it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, Lex also knows that Daniel Warren Johnson is one of the few comic book artists and writers that I really actually care about.
Yeah.
Like that I remember his name.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've reviewed pretty much every one of his books except for Extremity, which we got to get to that. I've never read it. It was one of his first books. We'll put that in the mix. That'll be next week's episode. Yeah. Not really, but we'll put that into the mix soon.
I know, man.
All that to say, we're reading Dual Powerbomb by Daniel Warren Johnson. I'll kick things off. Dual Powerbomb, issue number 1, story and art and cover by Daniel Warren Johnson, the creator of Murder Falcon and Wonder Woman Dead Earth, is launching a brand new limited series. Lona Steel Rose wants to be a pro wrestler, but she's living under the shadow of her mother, the best to ever do it. Everything changes when a wrestling-obsessed necromancer asks her to join the grandest pro wrestling tournament of all time, which is also the most dangerous. This is what really caught my eye. Obviously, it's Daniel Warren Johnson, so I'm gonna be interested in it. But the tagline for it was, it's the wrestler meets Dragon Ball Z, and a tale where the competitors get more than they ever bargained for. It's pro wrestling meets Dragon Ball Z. I'm sold.
Right.
That's one hell of a pitch.
I
realize the simpler the pitch, the more I'm into it. So Radiant Black has Power Rangers meets Invincible. I was like, okay, well, I'm obsessed with it. Don't even have to read it.
Yeah. It kind of, well, just before we even get into it, I feel like that's kind of Daniel Warren Johnson's thing, is really, I mean, like, he's obviously, I think he's a great writer, But it's not like his are very action packed, like not a lot of like, there's a lot of story in there, but it's always it's always surrounded by like these crazy action moments. A lot of touching story most of the time, but
yeah, this one really has a lot of that too. And like,
you did the giant Ultraman book too, right? Was that him?
No. No. Ultra Mega? No. Yeah. Very similar styles though.
Okay. Like similar almost in writing as well, because there's always like there's a lot of like legacy stuff in a lot of his books. But anyway.
What'd you think of this series? I already know when I brought it to you what you thought, because we're both fans. But what'd you think? Diving into issue number one.
Well, I mean, it really sets up the story. It was kind of interesting because I wasn't sure with that description that you said, I wasn't sure if this was going to be more than just what we think of as wrestling, like more than just a TV thing. Was this like how, in my mind, I was making up a grander story than there was here, because, and that's not to detract from the actual story, but I was like, okay, well, maybe that's how they like decide wars and shit. Like I had going in, I knew nothing only than that description that you gave just now. Yeah. So, you know, I was excited to read it and look at it, but it came out to be a lot more simple than I was making it from the beginning, at least in the first issue, you know?
Yeah. And is, the foreword that he had in it was great too. Like sets it up pretty well. You probably had a good feel for it after that. Maybe. I thought it was great. Adding that.
I definitely read it.
adding like where the process of his stories come from. He says that he just wants to create stories with things that he likes. Murder Falcon was about heavy metal. This is about pro wrestling. So I'm like, man, I really appreciate that. When you're a certain level of creator where you're just like, you know what? I like pro wrestling. I'm going to create a story around it.
Yeah. And he does. Well, it's almost like he has those pieces already. Like he's like, I want to do something about a family legacy. Where can we, what? It's like he plays fucking Mad Libs.
Yeah. 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 I could definitely see that.
Yeah. It's really what I think this shows. And I don't know if this would ever work. This would never work in any other medium, I think, other than animation. Yeah. And this wouldn't work in real life. Mainly for his dynamic drawing style. Like his action scenes. Oh, boy. Seeing people's... Like the whiplash of people getting hit is so good.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's just amazing to see. Like wrestling is silly. It's just really, really silly. And so to have moments that you find touching or things that are close to the feeling you get, especially in this first issue, like you think of something like Million Dollar Baby. It's like the end of that movie. You know, it's like, oh my god, this is like harsh.
I had to put it down because I got a little misty and I was like, what, it, why?
Yeah. I just like threw it down. Book about wrestling, man.
I just had no idea. Like it just caught me off guard. Like you said, I think that he plays that very well. It's like heavy action moments, just like wild spreads where you're just completely wrapped into it, almost like you're watching an animated something.
Yeah, think about Murder Falcon, man. We were like crying at the end of that book. Yeah. Even Beta Ray Bill, which is a mainstream comic book.
I agree.
That one, he has to kind of give up any like Beta Ray can't be this pretty man again. Yeah. Right. Yeah, all his books so far. Wonder Woman, Dead Earth. It's like,
God, yeah, that one beats it over your head. That one's like, that's sad. That's sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this one just sneaks it in, man. It's just, God.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you like about this? What didn't you like about it? I mean, let's just do it that way.
What did I not like about the first book? Well, I can't really remember when the first book ends.
So we get the time jump.
And then we're introduced to the guy. Okay. So the part with her mom is harsh and touching, but the part with her dad is very and her uncle is a little stereotypical. That, and that's all I'll say. That's the only downside I could see, is like, there's always that thing. Of course, his reasoning that develops later in the story makes more sense, but it comes off as that, like, yeah, of course the dad doesn't want you to do this because mom, blah, 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 whatever.
And the uncle's listening to the, you know, respecting the parents' wishes, and so they're not training her. Yeah, I agree. It's very sports movie, boxing, wrestling.
Especially that it doesn't really make a lot of sense that the uncle would go along with it either, because of, again, what we find out later in the story. Yeah, I don't know. That's the only part that it wasn't like a, when I look back on it, that I wasn't really, I'm not really into now. At the beginning, it made sense, I guess, but it's, we've seen it.
Yeah, it just like a lot of his stuff, it gets wild really fast. It's very, like you said, it's simple. It's pretty grounded in reality for the most part, whether it's like very extreme with like the wrestling moves and things like that, but relatively grounded in reality. And then it just kicks it up a notch in the last two pages where they're in another dimension.
It's kind of like the regular show. You know, the regular show, even though they're anthropomorphic animals, it was always like, oh, regular thing. And then all of a sudden the shit hits the fan every episode, 20 seconds in. So that's kind of, but it's already touching, you know,
it is emotional stakes. I mean, it's all the great story beats, character designs, all great, man. Chef's kiss.
Yeah. Really good. I really like the heel. His look is cool.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. They all look ridiculous. And Daniel Warren Johnson talks about not being able to, in the forward, he talks about not being able to watch wrestling as a kid. So he missed like the 90s attitude era. But later on in life, through recommendation from his friends, he started watching the Neo Japan pro wrestling. And that's kind of where it reminds me of the, you know, they had these flashy luchador style mask, and their stories are like way more intense and drama filled than even pro wrestling here in the States. If you're a pro wrestling fan, don't get mad at me. I think it is. And so it's really interesting to see him add those elements into this story.
Yes.
Because it plays a lot more like that dramatic Japanese wrestling.
Well, and I guess that's the place, but I'm not quite sure where they're at. Like, I don't know geographically where they are.
Yeah, it seems ambiguous enough that it's like, doesn't really matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know you loved all these onomatopoeias.
I couldn't get enough of it, man.
Yeah, some of them are, especially in the time jump, some of them are really great, where that's the whole frame.
Oof.
Really cool.
That's my bread and butter. And I'm going to try to save my remarks about the art until the end, because I could do a whole episode talking about it. That's just, it was great.
Yeah. What's really neat is little details. Like the uncle has like cauliflower ear, like little details like that. You don't really think about. That's kind of cool. I noticed that.
Take it away. Issue number two.
Doula Powerbomb number two. Lona Steel Rose is brought to another dimension and given an opportunity that could change everything. Will she join the Death Life Tournament? It's a question mark.
Yeah. Will she join the Death Life Tournament?
Will she join the Death Life Tournament?
This guy looks ridiculous, but also I'm glad that, I don't know, he's a demon. So he's not supposed to look human. Like, those are actual spikes coming out of his head, not just like a hat.
Yeah. It's a cool hat. Yeah.
What do you think about this issue, man? I mean, in my opinion, it's more of the same.
Yeah.
Still playing kind of safe.
Well, I like this guy's whole shtick. That, you know, he lost a lot of power, but he figured out TV, and so he's very much like what was that on that Dexter's Lab episode with the ultimate
wrestler guy. Macho Man was on it. Yeah.
Monkey! I don't know. It's funny. We talk about it later. It happens later in this story, I think. But it's like, oh, shit. They think that wrestling is real. Like, everybody else thinks that wrestling is real.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, go ahead.
Spoiler alert, because it's a main plot point. They join this tournament, and the winner of the tournament gets to bring someone back from the dead, and that's kind of their whole... That's kind of Lana's motivation to join the tournament, to bring her mom back. Very fucked up moment where we get to see her, and then she disappears.
Yeah. Well, there's some... it's a great story. Sorry, I'm just making a lot of noises. It's a great story with the person that she gets linked up with, because there's another major plot point with a character that kind of causes this disruption, and now she has to link up with that character. And
Cobra Sun was the heel the time of summon in the first issue, and he's the reason why her mom's dead. Again, spoiler alert for minor details. That's like a main.
Yeah, I mean, it is a main part of the story. For her to get connected to this guy, it's really crazy. It's just kind of a weird detail. And this guy is very much like the wrestler. Like, he's doing the broken glass, like the extreme shit, because he didn't make it as a regular wrestler. Maybe he feels guilty, whatever.
Yeah.
He's doing like the extreme stuff, like the backyard shit.
Yeah, it's wild. Like barbed wire chair. Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, I think he feels guilty because he was about to deliver that final blow, and then he sees Steel Rose, the original Steel Rose. That guy like pulls out a fork and stabs with it. It's like real backyard wrestling stuff, man.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's more actions. I don't know. It's hard to say what you like about this because it's more of the same. More great, like huge dynamic pages, panels. Like that page where he's shattering the light bulb over his back. I mean, man.
It's really good.
So good. So gruesome.
I'm thinking. Yeah, it's crazy animated. I just love how simplistic a lot of his art will be around characters. So like when this guy is talking to Lana, like everything's framed in like a pink background. Those are the main focus. Don't look at anything else. Like this is, or white or whatever. It's not until we kind of get to the end that they're placed back in the environment of the locker room.
Yeah.
Which is really great. I love that.
Yeah. And at this point in the story, she's trying to team up with him and he says no. And we know they're going to team up. They actually do team up, and that's sort of the... Did you see the twist at the end of this, man?
No, not at all. That was kind of... Well, one, because they don't even look like the... Like, he's, like, wearing baggy clothes for the time or something. It's like he doesn't even look like this ripped up dude. Yeah. Well, and there's even a mention of that later. Like, without the mask, you're small.
Yeah. That's weird. It's interesting how they play, like, the perception of whether you're an audience member of, like, a wrestling match or, you know, whatever. You don't see these people what they look like in regular life. So maybe they do look small. You know what I mean? I get it. It's cool. I didn't expect it.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, light spoilers for this, but it was a huge twist.
Yeah, we'll try not to slip up and spoil that part, but
huge twist. It's going to be hard not to later on, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
Issue number 3, dual powerbomb issue number 3, Lana and Cobra Sun strategize the best they can for their first round tournament matchup versus the mighty Orangabang. Watch out for their finishing move. I was I was wondering what these other people in this tournament were going to look like. Were they all going to be humanoid? And that was my thing. I was like, where there are multiple dimensions and there's multiple universes or whatever. I really hope that they don't all look the same. And they had this team, Orangabang, no idea what they would look like, but they are giant.
I knew exactly by that name what they were going to look like. I was surprised at how faithful it was. Like, I expected them to be ape-like, but not actual, like, fucking orangutans.
Yeah.
Tang-tangs. Yeah, that was cool. This whole sequence with this, like, puppy that pisses on somebody's boot is really funny. Like, they're going to punch this puppy in the face. Not their orangutan. It's a different
team. Those people are terrible.
They're crazy. The most, like, over-the-top characters
for them to all have some like decent motivation to be there. They're terrible.
Well, and it's really strange, even so maybe things would have worked out differently, but we meet Orangabang and they like toss these dudes around like nothing.
Yeah,
but our characters beat Orangabang, so it's makes you wonder what of Orangabang had no trouble with this other team.
Yeah, it is weird. And this is where you're talking about where they're like, hey, we heard a rumor that it's all a show on Earth. And they're like, nah, dog. Or they say, isn't it the same everywhere?
Yeah, and I love that response because like they're not even sure if it's fake everywhere
else. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Isn't wrestling the same everywhere? It's such a veiled response because it's not really like they're saying it is or it isn't. It's like they're feeling out what it actually may be for these other people.
Yeah. Let's talk about the teams real quick. We got Sun and Steel, which is their tag team name, our main characters. We got Orangabang. We got FYSO, which is an acronym.
Yeah, fuck your something opinion. Something like that.
Yeah. Pizza Party, which, oh my God, I wish we would have got more of that, man.
Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed because they have like a party wolf and then a dude with, it's like Batman, but with pizza. I mean, it's so stupid, but it's so great. It was weird because it's the way we got the book, the spread, the double pages are split in half. And so we have the other teams, Lucha Bots. They look great.
We don't even see them.
Don't even see them. The Puro Pack, which they're from Earth too, which I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Knights of Rhine, and then the Devil Doers, which we don't see Devil Doers either.
No. The Knights of Rhine, did you notice their names? Not the team name.
No.
But I think one of the characters' name is Alphonse.
Yeah. They're like the Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah. Well, I can't remember. There's Alphonse Elric, and then the other characters. Now I can't remember now.
Yeah,
I think one of them is both of those names.
Yeah, and they kind of look like them.
Yeah, kind of.
I can't get over these action sequences, man.
Yeah, they're crazy, dude.
We get the first round, and this book is, the pacing's really fast in it because we don't get every single match, which I was worried that we would, and that's why it was 7 issues. I was like, oh, this is kind of weak. But no, we go through them pretty quickly.
Yeah. I think
in this one, there's two, in this issue, we get a little bit of the Pizza Party versus the Knights of Rhine. They get their ass kicked.
They get wrecked. The this one page with the finishing move with Lana. Whew, good. Great. Love it.
Where she gets, or which one?
When she does the finishing move. Yeah, she's coming back.
Yeah, that looks great.
There was they mentioned in the rules that every team can enter the ring without being tagged one time. So a teammate can enter the ring. And the first sequence, she does it because this guy, what's his name? Cobra
Sun. Cobra Sun.
he doesn't really believe in her. He doesn't really want her in the ring yet. Of course, again, we don't want to spoil anything, but he doesn't want her in the ring yet.
Yeah, and before that, they throughout the issues, they talk. Everyone talks about how green she is, and nobody thinks she has what it takes. That's what their excuse is for keeping her out.
Yeah, but it seems there is some contradictory stuff to that, though, because they say she's green, but then they're like, but she has the natural talents, you know.
I think they're just, I think the uncle's like just saying excuse. That. Well, they're like, they're trying to put it on her so that she will quit. Mm-hmm. But it's like, she's kind of like Gohan. Like, he's obviously like weak. And there's even in the next issue, there's like a training montage where now she's at another level, which I thought was funny. But she like has this hidden, quote unquote, hidden power. But they keep trying to tell her like, oh, hey, you're too green. You shouldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But when she gets to cut loose, she's actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there was anyway, what I was saying is like there's this sequence where she tags in to stop them from counting down on Cobra Son. And then in the next fight that they're in, it seemed like that same thing was going to happen again. I was like, please don't tell me that he's about to use this same sequence twice. And it didn't really work out like that, but it kind of felt like it was.
Yeah.
But it's just opposite, like Cobra Son first and then her. Okay, so we're just going to flip-flop.
The Pizza Bros, when they get beat, the finishing move that the Knights of Rhyne have is nuts.
Yeah, they definitely killed the raccoon thing. Yeah, it's really sad too, because his name is Racket, which is funny, Racket Raccoon. But yeah. But he's like, buddy, hey, buddy. It's like, damn, dude, he's dead.
Killed. Yeah, I didn't even realize that. Yeah, they did kill him.
I don't know if they actually did. I don't know, because he even says this necromancer that kind of rules the whole thing. He does say like, we have the technology to make sure people will be okay. Like, they'll recover. Yeah. I think
Elric is one of the brothers' name, and the other Elric. One is Alphonse.
Well, I think his name is Alphonse Elric.
Alphonse. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The little guy's name is that. And the other one's Maximilian something.
Yeah. I love that all these issues have a background on the teams. So like we don't get a background on the Orangutan Bang, but we learn that their sister died and that's what they're fighting for. These brothers, the Knights of Rhyne, they're from the same universe as the Necromancer. Their greatest warrior that had the possibility of beating the Necromancer died. And so they're in this tournament to bring him back. I just love that they add those. It's just like one little splash page for like each team that we see. Well, of course, we don't get the Pizza Bros or the robot luchadors or anything like that.
It's interesting that he would even let them participate, you know, but I guess that's in all fairness. Like, he seems like a regular for this person is supposed to be like a conqueror. He seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah. He just wants to see the fight, man. He just wants to see the drama.
I like the montage page here with the brothers, and then the other montage page that we get later.
And it says another montage on there. Mm-hmm. That was great. And that's what it's like. They're training, because we find out that back in the day, Cobra Son and Lana's mom were partners before he turned heel. Which was cool, because we get to see their finisher move.
Mm-hmm.
Sword Sunrise, which looks cool.
Looks rough, man.
Yeah, you get clothesline and then you get friggin' pile drive.
I think that's what his drawing style, just like the whiplash of being hit. He's really great at getting that pose of like people that have been hit already. Not the punch, necessarily the punch, but the after punch.
Or like in motion.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love the onomatopoeia of like Sword Sunrise. It's ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
But it looks cool. Crazy. Another montage. And then at the end, she's Super Saiyan 1.
Yeah, I like that. I feel like I'm ready to kick some ass.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
And then the next panel, is her just getting rocked, which is funny.
Yeah. Wrestling is interesting in general because they have like punching, of course, with quote unquote punching, but if you watch it, they're like open palm slapping each other on the chest.
You know, you mentioned that the Orangabang brothers talked about it being fake, but even earlier on, when she first says that she wants to be in the tournament, she asks the necromancer, she's like, "So who wins this whole thing? Do I win?" And he's like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "I don't know who wins."
He doesn't really, he's not privy to what she's talking about, that everything is scripted.
Yeah, he's such a fan that he just thinks it's real. Like, that's why he loves it.
Oh, man. Yeah. There's some really great sequences in here.
Constantly just this fucking gruesome. This issue's gruesome.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, they do the special on her. She makes it through. Pretty great.
Is this what you were talking about? Like the barely getting the tag in?
Yes. Yeah. Similar, but not exactly. Suplex is really cool.
Yeah, because he doesn't even really get they don't get the tag off. She actually just like rises to the occasion.
Right? Don't they? Yeah, they do. No, they do. Not here, but
I'm talking about the first one where it's like reaching out.
Yeah, and they miss.
And then she rises to the occasion and then she gets it off like as her last.
I love a suplex, man.
Yeah.
They look so cool.
Yeah. And then she comes off the top rope. I mean, it's a lot of action sequences. If you're reading this, God, this was such an easy read for it to be a longer issue, man, or a longer volume.
Mm-hmm. And the wrestling is fun because I got caught up in the culture of 80s wrestling, you know, early 90s wrestling, but I never watched any of it. I can't remember. My dad told me that. My dad said, "Don't watch wrestling, it'll make you stupid."
Yeah, I've been told that before too.
Yeah, so I wasn't really allowed to watch it, not because of the content, but because of it was a soap opera. But at any rate, so you know, I had like WWF video game, I know Randy Macho Man Savage, I know Hulk Hogan, I know those. So this kind of harkens back to that. Anyway, I'm rambling, but it makes me appreciate because I'm like, yeah, man, I'm with you, Daniel Warren Johnson. Like, I also didn't get to watch wrestling, but I kind of like it. Like, I think it's cool. It's just like any other TV. It's like Power Rangers. It's like whatever, because they're made up characters, made up special moves. Like, it's the same shit
for grownups.
Yeah, yeah. Who some people are like, man, he took the title last year. It's like, dude, it's not real. Not real.
We get to see, this is the first time I think we get to see, no, I guess we saw Pizza Pack, but this is the first time we get to see, or the second time we get to see another match, not including our main characters. But it's with the team that we were interested in, the Puro Pack versus
Fuck Your Stupid Opinions. Yeah, that's it.
I didn't realize like I had a robot leg.
I didn't either.
Like the entire time. Besides now. We learned that Puro Pack is the uncle. What a twist.
But this whole segment, okay, so if we want to talk about things that I didn't like about this book, that's that. I didn't care for that because
you didn't like that the uncle was in it?
There's no stakes to him being in it. He's in it. Yeah. These guys are assholes and they do things before the bell rings. They knock out his teammate like immediately, and then they crack the uncle's neck, right? Spoiler alert, but not really.
It looks like Scorpion, though.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Scorpion, they crack his neck, which is also like they do that after the bell.
Yeah, and, after they won,
and Necromancer's like, "Oh, I've got the technology. It's fine. He'll heal up. It's fine."
Yeah, that's what I thought was lame. I didn't think. I thought he should have just died.
I don't necessarily think he should have died, but I think it would have been interesting if there was an actual match there. So maybe it should have been 8 issues. I don't know. There should have been a match there. Sorry, Daniel, but like there should have been a match there because this part, there's nothing I dislike more in a story. You know, we talked about this. We talked about this with video games. Talked about this with Horizon Forbidden West. There's nothing I dislike more than when a story, you do all these things and the story loops back on itself and it's like, well, none of that actually happened or mattered. And right here, he's revealed, you're not the only one that wanted to do this thing. Bring your mom back to life. Before the bell shit, nothing mattered. And then we're back to the beginning where it was like he wasn't there at all.
Yeah, I think it just served to, which we already didn't like these guys, but it served as like an extra emotional thing for them to go up against. When it's like in Rocky, where at the beginning Apollo Creed gets murdered.
What?
Spoiler alert. And it's like it just adds to like the emotional gravitas of the fight at the end.
I can totally see that. So yes, maybe to your point, he should have died.
Yeah,
should have died. That would make sense.
But then. Yeah. Sure. Mickey Rourke grabs the freaking bat and the freaking chair, which that's just a cool page.
Yeah, it's a cool page. It's funny that he carries fluorescent lights.
Yeah, in his duffel bag.
But it is a really, really great page.
And he has kendo sticks. Man, I don't know. I didn't notice he had the kendo sticks back there.
Ouch. Yeah.
That's great.
He did a really good job of illustrating this guy who's like old man muscly. Like cut, but not really.
Yeah. Big veins.
Yeah.
That's issue. I don't even know what issue that was.
Three, right? Four. Yes.
Did I just read four?
Yeah. No, that was five. I think we just talked about five.
Yeah. I think we just went to five.
That's fine. I'll do six.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. Do a powerbomb number six. Lona, Steel Rose, and Cobra Sun must face a hard truth as FYSO wrestles with their own life or death situation. The cover for that page, at least in this collected edition, is top notch.
Yeah.
Insane. Has Daniel Ward Johnson done a Ghost Rider book?
No, I should, though.
Damn, yeah, he should. That'd be fucking nuts. Knocking futs.
They got, they negotiate this special match where it's like, obviously it's for fake wrestling. Even the other guys are like, this isn't real. They're just doing this because they don't know how to wrestle.
yeah.
But it's like no disqualifications, no anything. Basically no anything goes. Ladder match, which I don't even know what the ladder match is. It's not like they have something to grab at the top of the ladder. It's just there.
Yeah, I thought that was the point of a ladder match.
Well, there's usually like something,
yeah, like
here where they grab it and then
the case or something.
Maybe there is something we just don't know about it because she climbs it.
Yeah,
this is another brutal issue, man.
I do like his shirt that he wears. I don't know, it's kind of cool. Very Casey Jones. He looks like Casey Jones now.
Yeah, and she's wearing, it's like for this extreme match, she's wearing like jeans, she has a shirt on. They look great.
One thing I really like about this is, as shitty as these people are,
yeah,
they do have this background story that's, you know, like, damn, okay, yes, they're shitty, but you'd be shitty too if, you know, you thought that you could wish someone back to life.
And they're, and it's not like everyone's is not the same, which I really appreciate. Like, everyone's backstory is not the same. This one is a little interesting because they both lost their kids, spoiler alert. And then it's interesting because they're on,
say the spoiler alert before.
I know, it's funny. It's funny though.
Spoiler alert.
It's funnier that way. But they both lost a kid, separate families, like they're not related.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they have that, like, we'll deal with that once we win everything, which I thought was cool.
It's interesting dimensions because like everything's the same as it would be on Earth, except the robots. I mean, the doctor's like a robot.
Yeah.
That's the only really. Yeah, but hey, whatever.
My problem with the book is that I was like, oh, this is way too predictable. Like, they're just going to go through all this and win. It's like they're going to get beat up a little bit and they're going to win. They're going to get beat up a little bit and they're going to win. I was like, that, Like you said earlier, the stakes
are like Dragon Ball Z, man.
Yeah, it's like the stakes are kind of low, but they're just going to come out on top. It was a twist. This one was a twist.
Yeah, total twist. Titty twist. It's really crazy. Like you said, man, it's fucking brutal. Brutal issue.
Yeah, they didn't spare any. Daniel Warren Johnson didn't spare any expense with the no disqualifications. They had the thumbtacks.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Well, and there's, you know, they were really close, but there's some distracting elements, which, again, we don't want to spoil that part. But it's like, this issue is crazy, man. It gets crazier. I don't want to say any more about it because I really don't want to spoil those parts because they are big twists. But
yeah,
the end of this book, I will say, I don't think it's like a big twist to say that our main characters don't win.
They don't win.
But what happens next is like crazy. It gets crazier and crazy. We can't not talk about the book. They don't win this match. Yeah. But they do have a way to progress. Right?
Yeah.
For the last issue, we have to at least say that.
Well, see, I think that was issue 5 and this is issue 6.
This is issue 6.
No, the next one's issue 6 because we had 2 more issues.
2 more? Oh.
Yeah, because at the end of issue 6, they get introduced to
God. Notorious G-O-D.
And then it ends, and then we have the final
fight. Okay, well, I don't...
It doesn't matter. Well,
it doesn't... No, that doesn't make any sense because... Oh, yes, okay. Yeah, whoops. See? All right. Yeah, I got it. Okay. It makes sense. Okay. Do a powerbomb number 5. FYSO have made it clear they think they're better than every other wrestler in the death life, but they're ready for an anything-goes death match. Sun and Steel bring barbed wire to a final note. Final like no other. Okay, we got that out of the way. So, yeah, I don't know. But I want to progress past what we talked about because I don't want to spoil that part. So I kind of feel like we.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're good. We're good. And like Simon said, our heroes, Sun and Steel, is that what they're called? Their team, yeah. I think. They have the opportunity. They lost the opportunity to win the entire thing. Slight spoiler, but they have another chance.
Yeah.
The big chance is that they have to fight God, though.
Yeah. Well, the big deal that we kind of find out, which I don't think is that spoiler, with something like this, with this kind of storyline, you know there's going to be a catch, right?
Yeah.
When I was reading, I was like, oh, fuck, there's a catch somewhere. They're not just going to get their wish. Once they find a way to kind of progress, the necromancer's like, hold on, I got to get some supplies together. Hold on, we're going to get your mom back, right?
Yeah.
So he goes and does the thing. He's like, well, I kind of figured out that, like, I'm not going to be able to bring her back.
Yeah, if I bring her back, she'll be a zombie. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, I was like, I don't have enough power to completely bring her back. If I try, then she'll be like a zombie. And I do like that moment where he's like chill most of the time. He's a fast talker, but he also knows he's like really powerful. So he's not too scared of anybody. And Cobra Son, like, hey, man, you said this, 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 grabs him by the collar and he turns giant. And he's like, listen, bro. You understand that I've like destroyed armies. Okay. So I'm not really scared of you.
He says, I may not be able to bring somebody back from the dead, but I can kill you. I'm strong enough to kill you.
But then he turns really chill, like immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
I like it. I dig that writing.
Yeah. And I didn't think it was going to go this way, but they're like, hey man, you want to wrestle the creator of the universe?
Yeah.
And then the crowd is cheering God. Like, it's not there. It's no skirting around it. There's no, like, you know, a lot of times they'll just call him the creator, call him, he or she, the creator of the universe. And that's what it will be titled. But no, the crowd is yelling out God.
God. God. God. God. Yeah. Big G.
Yeah. probably looks like what I assume Guile looks like.
Sure, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I do appreciate he's faceless. Wearing like a steel mask. That's pretty cool.
And super beefy.
Mm-hmm. Big dude. But basically they settle on like a 2-on-1
handicap match.
Handicap match, yeah.
Yeah, that's all issue 6 is essentially a little bit of stuff that we don't want to talk about. Wild. That whole interaction's wild. And then their journey to meeting God and learning that God is a huge wrestling fan. And they have been smitten by Sun and Steel. And they want to wrestle.
Wrestle.
Let's do it. It's like Dragon Ball Z. When Goku and those characters fight the gods of those universes, it's essentially exactly like that.
Yeah, where it's just fun. Like, what?
Yeah.
This spread with all the characters and their scaling is really great.
Yeah.
Seeing the pizza guy, he's so beefy. He's a big dude.
He looks cool, man.
It's ridiculous. He's beefy Batman, but with like pizza themed.
Yeah, he's got like a madman exclamation point or Shazam lightning bolt on his chest.
Yeah, pizza lightning bolt. It's great.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, they all.
Why the raccoon though? Like, why a raccoon partner? It's so weird that they come. They're like parodies, maybe, I guess. Parodies of other superheroes. That's their universe.
I guess, man. He's there for the Zod, though. I need to get that shirt.
Oh,
here for
boy.
The Zod. Yeah, I would like to know more about that, where that came from.
Because,
like, the other, you can kind of tell where a lot of these are from. You mentioned the Full Metal Alchemist. The uncles, like Scorpion, they're like Mortal Kombat characters.
Yeah, those are my least favorite.
Yeah. I love the orangutan. Like, I'm with you with the orangutans, man. I think they look cool. I'm glad that they're like these giant.
They're like monkeys. Actual orangutans. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got like the. Because orangutan is. I'm not sure how it works. I think it's like. Because you get the males that have those like big faces, they're huge, but you also see males that aren't that big, so I don't really know how all that works, if it's like a hierarchy thing.
Evolution, man.
Yes. What is that? I don't believe in that.
Do a Powerbomb, issue number 7. It's the mini series finale, ladies and gentlemen. Introducing the final issue of the series, Lana Steel Rose and Cobra Sun must face the ultimate challenge on their path to resurrecting Lana's mother. Will they be successful? Same thing. I was like, are they about to just, this is God. This character is God. Very much every single panel that says it a zillion times.
Yeah.
Is it going to be, I had a lot of thoughts. Was it going to be a Wizard of Oz situation? They get to the top of this because it's like a tower that looks kind of technological, right? So I was like, is it gonna be a Wizard of Oz situation where they beat the shit out of this god and then it's like, I'm actually like a man in a robot suit.
That would have been interesting.
Or are they gonna beat the crap out of god?
Yeah, capital G.
Okay, hey, you're not God. Watch.
Whoa. What can I help you with? Whoa, Apple, thinking a lot about yourself now.
Yeah, so are they going to beat God? I was like, well, that seems kind of blasphemous. Not that, I mean,
God whatever. Doesn't care. God does not care about this comic book.
I was interested to see what, you know what I mean? I was interested to see where we were going to go.
Yeah. Man, it's crazy. The action sequence. I love this book. What do I like? I like that God... It makes perfect sense. He's like, I'm not here to take it easy on you. He goes full force, like, immediately.
Beats the crap out of him, man.
Yeah, dude. He's like a... Just fucking messes him up, dude. It's crazy.
But they get some good hits in, which they look great, man.
Mm-hmm.
But they essentially get their ass kicked the entire time.
Yeah. Well, right. And they do rally... But there's
a few times.
Yeah, a few times. And the big deal is that they make God bleed.
Yeah, they recreate the move. Sword Sunrise, or Sunrise Sword, whatever it's called. Sword Sunrise. They did it. They landed Sword Sunrise on God. And a drop of blood creates, which is, they pin him and everything, but then he just like flings them off into the sky like they're nothing.
Yeah.
But like you said, the big deal is that he has a drop of blood, which no one is, it's impossible. No one believes it happened. But then he goes full force and
that's about it. He gets him in like a double suplex. All those things are great.
Yeah. And we won't talk about the end. You'll have to read it. But that final Pillars of Golgotha.
Oh my God. Golgotha is the hill that Jesus was crucified on. Oof. If you didn't know.
I got that tattooed on my chest.
Golgotha.
Yeah, we won't talk about how, you know, how it ends, who wins, what happens with her mother. You have to read this. This is one of the books that I think that you should check out. We'll talk more about it in our actual review, but we're trying to do better about like not spoiling everything on every book that we read. So apologize if it seems a little disjointed. Just a lot happens in this and a lot doesn't happen.
Well, there's like several huge twists. Yeah, light spoilers are one thing, but like one thing that completely changes how you're going to read the book happens. And we don't want to spoil that. And it's difficult to talk about the rest of the book without talking about that. So
overall, Sam, go ahead.
Well, all I was going to say is this is another Daniel Warren Johnson going to pull at your heartstrings book. Really, throughout all this craziness and action and stuff, he finds a way to put those story beats in there. Like, fuck, dude, thanks. Thank you. Like Murder Falcon, you end it and you're like, dude, come on, bro.
Yeah, I got misty eyed a few times. It caught me out. It always catches me off dark guard too, because you're like sucked into that action and just like, oh man.
Yeah. Exactly.
For sissies. Yeah. You're crying at the end of it.
Yeah, crying for sissies.
Let's talk about the characters. Who are your favorite characters in this book, man?
Honestly, I think Cobra Son is my, I really like his character design and everything, and the regrets that he has, and just he's, you know, turns from a heel to washed up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say Cobra Son's my favorite. My favorite character, though, is the referee during the God match. Like, he just seems like a cool dude, man.
Oh yeah,
he just doesn't have much to say about it. He's just there,
just a hippie guy.
I want to know, is that Jesus?
maybe that makes a lot of sense.
He's just hanging out there with his dad.
It's awful white to be Jesus, though.
I'm looking, he's tan.
Tan-ish. Yeah, but he's not like Northern Africa.
Yeah. Schematics, man.
Yeah. I think it's kind of funny. Sometimes I wonder, you know, if it were me and I'm drawing stuff, I'd be drawing caricatures of my friends as these innocuous characters. So I wonder if that's Jesus or if, you know, him and other refs are just pictures of random people that he knows.
Yeah, same. I would do the same thing. Let's talk about the art, man.
Do we need to?
Copy and paste from any other Daniel Warren Johnson review we've done.
So this one, I will say, it's a really amazing, as always. I've loved everything that he's put out. But there are some that are like, there's so much motion and stuff that it's kind of hard to track what it is, or what I'm looking at, or
in this book.
Yeah, it's not terrible. But I, you know, I've liked a lot more of his previous work more. Yeah. This is still top tier. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking like everything else is A+ and this is an A. Yeah. But anyway, that's to say that I still like it.
Yeah. I was I don't know why I was trying to overanalyze it this time. And I was trying to figure out why I like it so much, you know, and I think it's because it's very much his own style. If you are someone out there that is an artist, you know that that's a thing that people constantly hunting is like their style, their original look. Mm-hmm. And it's very much like unapologetically his style, not traditional comic book art in any shape or form, you know, and with the straight lines of other creators that I like a Dan Mora or a Doc Shaner with the very straight lines, detailed faces, things like that. Very loose. And I could just appreciate that, you know, it's one of those things that, like I said, if you were an artist on any scale, that's something that, you know, you're always chasing, like having your own individual look and feel that people recognize by just glancing at it. And so I can just, I was fawning over, as I do with all of his books, just fawning over the art and riddled with jealousy, imposter syndrome, things that come with being a fan of someone else's work.
I mean, it is amazing. And it's so much his style. That's all I was saying. It's like, you look at somebody like Joe Madd or, I forget his name. He worked on Batman for a while. He worked on Spawn for a while.
Eric Larson?
No.
Not Eric Larson. He never did Batman. Capullo.
Yeah, Capullo. Like, they get so wrapped up in their own style that it's like, whoa, okay, maybe rein it in a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was like that too much, but there were moments I was like, maybe rein it in a little bit.
Yeah, see, for me, it wasn't. I was just like, yeah, let it fly, man. Let it fly.
I don't know how to describe it. I really did like it, though. I like it a lot.
Would you recommend this book to anyone?
I would recommend this book to everyone.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Like I said, I always, I kind of can tell if you would like it or not, like when I recommend it, but
there's not a single thing that he's going to put out that I'm not going to like.
Yeah,
I don't think, unless he just starts doing crack or something.
Yeah, switches up like anti-Semitic work or something real crazy.
Right.
Oh, man. Let's grade this thing. I don't even, what's the perfect score on Mars score?
C4.
Let's grade this thing. Yeah, pulling it up. If you need to pull up the grading chart, if you're listening to this and want to know what the hell we're talking about, it's at the FAQ section of our Discord. The link will be in the show notes. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I already said mine. C4, man.
Hold on. C4.
E4. E4 is perfect. E4 is perfect.
Yeah, I'm going E5. Just to have a different score.
Yeah, just to say something different. It really is. It's a great book. It continues his tradition of, again, I've said it a million times throughout this review, but sneaking in this really, really deep story or this really, you know, melancholic story or whatever you want to call it, like in the middle of all this crazy shit that's happening.
Yeah, it's like high level action, over the top, exaggerated scenes. And then this really touching story at the core of it, and it sneak attacks every time, and you're like, damn it, why?
Yeah,
don't make me feel things, man.
Yeah, come on, man, I came here for none of that.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Surprise, guys, if at the beginning of this you knew what it was gonna be. Huge fans of his work. We need to read Extremity. That's the only one I think we haven't read yet.
Is it about arms and legs?
Yeah. I have no idea what it's about. Time, where can the people find you?
You know, out and about.
On the streets.
It's Simon Toast on Instagram. SimonTorPortraits.com. The coffee shop every couple of days.
Every couple of days. Too much coffee, man.
I drink like 4 cups of coffee a day, at least.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting a lot. I used to drink 8 cups of coffee a day. I have to because I was like, I don't want kidney stones.
You can find all of our other stuff at WednesdayPool.com and then on all our social medias at WednesdayPool. So there you have it.
Bye.